thank you to my sponsors of this podcast, Little Dish, who make delicious kids' meals and help to make family life and feeding kids less stressful. Hello and welcome to How to Feed with Charlotte Sterling-Reed, the parenting podcast which offers reassurance, confidence and advice on how to feed your baby, toddler and your whole family. We're sponsored by the wonderful guys at Little Dish and recording the podcast today from their headquarters. So thank you very much to them for hosting. Today we're talking all things weaning and talking about discovering the magical stuff called food. And we're going to be covering stepping back and enjoying the amazing milestone that weaning actually is, how the journey differs between each baby in the family, and comparison culture and how to just completely ignore it. I'm so excited to say that we're going to be speaking to an incredible guest today who has her own podcast that most of you will have already listened to. She's known for her charitable work on Copperfield and also being in the jungle. But most of you will know and love her from being an incredible mum and from her support for parents via Happy Mum, Happy Baby and the Happy Mum, Happy Baby podcast. Today's guest is none other than Giovanna Fletcher. Welcome, G, and thank you so much for coming on the podcast.
Thank you for having me. It's lovely.
Oh, thank you. And we're going to be talking today. The reason I wanted you to come on was because when I went on your podcast, we talked very much about weaning and you said how much you loved it. And from my perspective, I thought, who better to have on the podcast than someone who loved that weaning journey and can hopefully maybe give some of that confidence to other parents?
I don't know whether it's because I'm a foodie myself, but it really shocks me when I hear that people are scared of that part of the journey, because it's something that I think maybe since experiencing it with my first, I've then looked forward to it with the second and third, you know, and seeing how they're all so different with it. Their little hands, their little chubby hands, when they reach out and grab things and shove it in their mouths. It's just such a beautiful, beautiful thing.
Oh, I love it. And you, obviously you're not that bothered by the mess, because I think, I mean, we'll come back to people's anxieties, but you know, exactly that, like the grabbing it and the mess that goes with it. In the case, it sounds like you actually love all of that and soak it up.
Yeah. And I think that comes, well, especially, you know, having three, you do have to, I guess, embrace the chaos anyway. But even with, you know, the first, I kind of felt like I was fine. I loved the fact that he made mess. Now, I can remember we went to Sardinia. He would have been 15 months. And Buzz would always not just eat the pasta, but it would all be smeared around his face. Yeah. And he'd end up looking like an Oompa Loompa where every part of him was orange. I remember going to Sardinia and the locals kept taking photos of him because he looked so funny.
Oh, I love that so
yeah, and
much.
He just loved food and I loved, you know, trying different things. And yeah, it was a very, I find it a really special time. And mess, you can clean up mess, you know, and it is hard when you've, you know, made something lovely that you think is going to be delicious and it ends up on the floor, but you embrace it. Or there are great things out there now, actually, where you kind of put something down on the floor, which means that you can actually pick it up and put it back on the tray. Then it's not actually just gone and you can't use it, but it's like embracing it. I embraced weaning more than I did messy play.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's so funny. Why do you think that is, that you had that enjoyment? Is it because you're a foodie? Is it because you love food? Is it because you just weren't bothered with the mess? Or do you, like, what is it?
I think food
is
part of my love language. I've got to say that. And I think the Italian side definitely leans into that sort of, I think, you know, tastes and food, they take us to different times and moments in our lives. And I think that's such a special thing. So I was just always intrigued to see what his reaction would be to different things. And the textures and like the little faces. And if you have the time, which, you know, in that first year, so many of us do have if we're home, to just sit with them and see what that is. It's brilliant. I can remember actually a couple of my friends, because I know there are lots of different ways of going into weaning. And a couple of my friends, they had a daughter who was a couple of years older, and they said, you have to do baby-led weaning. And they told me about this book that had just come out at that time that they had used. So I read the baby-led weaning book. And so with Buzz, we were like, absolutely, we're going to go down that route. And I can remember a health visitor, when he got weighed 8 months, being like, you know, you don't have to be like purist with it. I can mix it up. Like, he doesn't just have to grab things and shove it in.
Completely,
he can have a spoon, which is interesting because when the second came along, I was like, we'll do the same thing. And he literally used to just look at us and go, what is this?
Yeah.
You're all allowed cutlery and I just have to grab it. How uncouth.
Yeah, how so dare
a bit
you.
Of a mixture. Yeah. And then third one, you just kind of like, well, whatever happens,
whatever
happens.
Goes. Yeah. Just so many people say that about having the third. They're like, the third is just whatever happens, happens. And we just let them go on with it.
Yeah. And I also think that's probably part of you worry about what they eat so much with the first. And, you know, to be honest, with my first and second, I probably paid a lot of attention to that. And as a result, they are great eaters.
Oh,
they love
really
their fruit and
know,
veg.
Yeah.
Whereas with Max the third, it's literally like, you've got to hide it. The only way of getting him to properly eat raw stuff now is I grow a lot of fruit and veg at home. And the only way to get him to eat it raw is by going, oh, look, try that. And Buddy will take him around the garden, picking things and trying things.
Yeah.
They'll pull up a carrot, wash it, and then eat it. And even sometimes if he just has a little bit of a nibble, then spits out, I'm like, I'm sure some of those nutrients are going in. I'm sure a little bit just slept there.
But you know what? Like, so many people will really resonate with this because it's really common. And I can't tell you how many parents I speak to who have had one child and they're like, wow, they eat really well. I've nailed this.
Yeah, I'm such a good parent.
Exactly,
I've done it. I've cracked it.
What's everyone moaning about? Why is it so hard? But then you do get a curveball. I had exactly the same with my daughter. She's great now, but she was not always an easy eater. My son was great. And the same with sleep and so many other aspects. Yeah. I was like, we've nailed this. You know, we've got this parenting. Me and my husband, we're really good at this. And then my daughter came along and absolutely not the case. So I love
talking about
that.
Which also must be difficult for you when, like, this is your world.
Yes, completely.
And something that you're really passionate about. Yeah. And your daughter comes out and she's like,
nah, not bothered.
The
worst thing was so many of the things that my son liked, he loves porridge, loves egg, loves broccoli. None of those would she eat. None. And I was like, what am I going to do? But it was an amazing lesson in following my own advice, which is, don't worry about it. They will get there.
Yeah.
They will explore variety in their own time. And it sounds like you were very relaxed. Would you say that you were quite laid back? Even though with your first, you were like, right, I'm going to follow this method. But it sounded like joyfully and explorative.
I feel like that method was a relaxed method, really.
Yeah.
I knew not to worry about, you know, like gagging. I knew about the reflex and stuff. Like, I can remember going out for dinner with my mum. It was just me, mum, and Buzz. And Buzz had obviously shoved a bit of something in too far and he gagged. And mum was like, Gemma!
Yeah, the panic.
I was like, he's fine, mum. Like, give him a second.
Oh, God. But it's so funny because you do really see, I feel like it is quite polarised. You do have some parents who are super, super anxious. Like, I have parents write to me all the time saying, I haven't started finger foods because I am so nervous. Like, I don't even know how. And then you do have others who are like, they're fine, you know, they'll get on with it. And I do think that slightly laissez-faire explorative approach is really helpful, and it's something I do try and instill. But how do you do that if that's just not the way you are?
I think one of the things I remember reading was how food, especially in those early days with baby-led weaning, it's another form of play.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And I think seeing it like that in my mind completely changed how I approached it.
Mm-hmm. Was that right from the beginning?
Yeah. And just seeing it's another thing to explore.
Yeah.
You know, and when you see them for so long, just like following your, when you've got a plate in front of you and you see them just following your food from the plate to your mouth, you know, and already having that little bit of an interest, it's fun.
Yeah.
And we can keep that fun aspect to it when we actually approach.
As much as you can,
I
can't tell you how much I love hearing that, because that's one of the things I try and say to parents all the time is it is about exploring.
Yeah.
This isn't about getting it right or wrong or getting it perfect or messing up. This is literally about letting your child explore. And it does exactly sound like that's what you did. Can you talk a bit more about the different experiences you had with your different kids around food and how they reacted and responded to weaning?
Oh gosh. I think especially for the first two, it was that I did a lot of broccoli and a lot of, you know, I remember reading how the sweet stuff has to come in last, which again, now I'm further down the line, I'm like, oh, rules.
Let's
not have rules. I used to just love giving a variety. And actually, I guess
amazing.
Because I was still making that for Buzz when Buddy came along, it kind of felt like that was something that they were both doing. You know what, Max, even though he's the most recent, he's just turned six, I actually can't remember his weaning journey as much.
Really?
Well, because I guess, you know, when it's your first, it's such a massive focus on what you're doing at the time. And you're not worried about the toddler that's worried, like running around or, you know, sit down at the table. You've just got that one. Mm. But I, you know, one of our first meals, if you like, was macaroni and spaghetti and broccoli.
Yeah.
And and like you were saying, actually, I can remember it being super messy, everyone on the floor. And I can just remember really enjoying it and taking photos and videos and sending it to the family. My dad, who's the Italian, just being like,
I love that.
It starts a massive joy over the fact that it was pasta. Mm. You know, actually, I've got to say on the pasta front, because I just assumed everyone loves pasta because I am half Italian. Mm. My third baby didn't like pasta.
Oh gosh.
Of all the things.
That is hard. Hard. Because it's such a base for so much.
How am I going to tell Dad? Yeah. Like, he doesn't like pasta. And there was a massive thing about red sauce. My kids love pesto. Mm. I'd never been given pesto as a kid. That wasn't something my dad's generational, you know, where he's from in Naples, that just wasn't a thing. Mm. So I was very scared to tell Dad.
We use this pesto
out of the jar, Dad.
What was the response?
Well, it was still his first grandchild. So he's like, the next time we went round to Dad's, he had pesto in the cupboard.
He's just waiting.
But I also think that I really enjoyed having the time to make things. Yeah. So I think it really coincided with the time in my life where I, you know, I was making different milks, I was making hummus, I was making pesto. Not now, not third child.
It was not
happening. And I think, you know, I think we do put a lot of pressure on ourselves to be a certain way. And actually, we don't need to be, you know. And to be honest, I think baby-led weaning let me off the hook a little bit, but it also did help me explore, which I loved as well. Mm. You know, I think there's not only the aspect of your child exploring and playing, but you are as well. Mm. And you kind of go, it's one meal. Let's try this butternut squash stick. Absolutely. And if you like it, amazing. If not.
Yeah. But I think that's probably you were able to do that as well because of your thoughts around this play. Like, let's think of it as play. And I think so many parents do think about it as exactly like you said, these rules and getting it wrong or right. And I really do think that the play element and the exploration and the enjoying those little, let's just try this. Let's just see. It really can have a knock-on effect. Yeah. But do you think that sometimes doing that on the first go and feeling the confidence of it going right can have an impact on subsequent weaning journeys? Because I do have parents write to me often saying, I'm on my second weaning journey or my third, and I still feel totally lost. So maybe it depends how the first one goes.
Well, and also that feeling of getting it right. Like you're saying, I feel like parenting, there's so much judgment, guilt, pressure within parenting. And for me, it's a real big shame because actually with weaning, there's so much joy and all the other noise just shouldn't be there.
Yeah.
And also the individuals relationship to food as well. But I guess in the other way, if I love food, but if I then had babies that didn't love food, that would hit me
harder.
Harder.
Yeah, that would be hard.
Yeah.
I wish I could bottle your enthusiasm for it and the love for it.
I love it. And I love it as a family now. You know, our dinner times are together and we all eat the same food. There are times where, you know, I'll cook something and something the kids loved a week ago and now they hate.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, and you just got to kind of ride it. Well, because I can remember sitting down at, you know, the dinner table and I've got to say, actually, me, my brother and my sister are absolutely certain that we had pasta growing up at least four times a week, possibly five, right? And then a roast on the Sunday. My mum is like, no, you did not. I'm like, what else did we eat then?
I don't remember any other meal.
No, it was just that, mum. But family meal times are really important.
But they are really big thing for Italian families, aren't they? And I think I talk about that a lot in this idea of like conviviality, which is like they're sharing meals together. Yeah. And it's such an important concept and one that we don't really pay much attention to in the UK. So again, do you feel like that was influenced by your, you know, how you were raised? You just kind of passed it on to your family?
Absolutely. So even the meal times when they were introduced, we were all eating.
Yeah,
you know, and that's always been there. Mm. And I think very quickly we would choose to have meals that we could all eat.
The whole family.
So if me and Tom added salt or chili to it, that was, you know, our preference. But we were all having the same meal. Which even now, if me and Tom are having something different, the kids will be like, well, so what's that then?
Yeah, hold on.
And there'll be fingers in our plates before we know it, you know.
Yeah.
And just, yeah, just going on with it. Tom, actually, I know it's slightly older kids, but Tom saw this little thing online a little while ago that we implemented during the winter, which was using candles. Mm-hmm. So in the winter, using candlelight to eat by.
Yeah.
And it's just this magical thing where it literally brings the family in.
Yeah, it's such a novelty as well to do something different.
Yeah.
Mm. I love that. And I always think, yeah, making the environment really nice for kids, whether it's weaning or whether it's later on or whether it's family meals. And being a family and eating together is massively part of that. But would you say there's any other things that you do to make those mealtimes enjoyable? Because it's so easy for them to become quite pressured or frantic or stressed.
I take away the distractions, so that there's no toys on the table, no phones, obviously, and things like that. We have some music on, but also not getting het up if a child goes under the table or a child walks off, or if a child decides they want to eat someone somewhere else, which doesn't happen a lot. But if they're going through a difficult time, that might happen.
Yeah.
And just kind of going, well, it's a now thing. And really, are we really going to fight this battle when that they're telling us what they need? Mm-hmm. You know, and even when we've been out in sort of Sardinia and things like that, if the kids have finished with their meal and they're all sat under the table, I'm like, well, they're being quiet. Yeah. Some of the table, like, are we really going to
enjoy my meal in peace?
Isn't this lovely? And it is that thing, right? Yeah. If you're all eating together and one decides they're not in for it, like, you've got to really decide what are we doing here? Am I going to sit down and eat my food?
Yeah.
And I'll then feel better because I've eaten and I'm not angry, and you know, and then we can kind of deal with that later. But you can always come back to it,
because the opposite as well is often pressuring them to stay at the meal where they don't want to be, and that does create negative environment. I spend a lot of my time talking about environments, and that's right from weaning. It really matters, because babies will pick up on how we respond to food. So, you know, if you're, you know, throwing food at your kids and being like, try this, and you know, excited and enjoying it, they will pick up on that.
So funny though, because I can remember my nonna, she didn't speak a lot of English and we didn't speak a lot of Italian back then, but she would literally chase after us with forks full of food to try and get us to try it. We'd be like, no,
running away.
But also it's that feeling of being forced to try something, which is very different.
Completely.
And you know, so when we were younger and we'd be having a roast, say I left my cabbage, I wouldn't be allowed to leave the table until I ate it.
Yeah.
You know, I think actually we are of a generation, you know, that we did have that aspect of us growing up. Our parents didn't have a lot, and therefore they wanted us to eat the food that they provided and put on the table and cook for us. Whereas now I try to be a little bit more relaxed and just think, oh, the chickens will love that. Mm. Or it can go into my compost bin, you know,
exactly,
and grow more food.
Because the pressure, definitely, and there's so
it's
much
not
research.
Helpful,
it's
actually,
not helpful, no. And it does sound like, I can honestly imagining your mealtimes now, and it does seem pressure-free. And I'm not saying they're going to be like
that
every single
idyllic,
day. But
and there are some that go chaotically wrong and it's awful, but on the whole you know, when you say dinner time, everyone flocks.
I love it.
You know,
I love it.
Well, now I've got to, you know, the next step is kind of getting everyone to put their dirty plates on the side and the dishwasher.
Yeah,
that would be
getting involved.
Then we're right at the ideal.
Yeah, I'm trying to get that with my two at the moment. My daughter, she's really happy to help tidy up and lay the table.
You
and
praise
she
it.
Loves it, which is mad. But yeah, my son is completely oblivious. He's like, what? Where's my plate?
This doesn't just happen.
Exactly. Where's that fairy? But can I ask as well, what is there anything that you did find made you a little bit anxious during weaning? Was there anything that you were a bit more cautious about, or any incidences or anything?
Eating out when you're weaning, I think, was a thing. I mean, you know, we didn't eat out a lot, especially not when we had three, but there was definitely times where, you know, you go out and, oh gosh, there's loads of broccoli under the table, better clean that up before, you know, just things like that. I would say and going places and sort of thinking, well, I've got to make sure that I've got what I need or what he needs before we get somewhere. I think on the whole, as long as you're prepared, it's all fine.
Yeah, completely.
And also you talk about things in hindsight, right? So right now I'm sat here going, oh, it's fine.
Yeah.
It's fine.
Yeah.
But there's always going to be moments that I think for mums, there's this inbuilt hot sweat that happens in certain situations when they arise, that happens because it's your child and you're, you know, and I think you're so built in with each other. So in hindsight, it can be like, oh, it was all magical and amazing. But yeah, absolutely. And people's expectations maybe of what they should be eating or, you know.
Yeah, completely. Yeah. I remember I used to eat out a lot with my son, and I remember meeting up with some people who I'd kind of met, you know, early days with parenting. And I remember one of the mums saying to me, "Did you bring a spoon?" And I was like, "Oh no, I forgot." And he said, "I knew you wouldn't. I told my husband you wouldn't." I was like, "Thank you," because I was always forgot everything, spoons, cutlery, no bibs, no napkins, no nothing. But it worked.
I can remember, actually, there was a moment where I picked up Buzz from nursery. It just started. And I picked him up, and the nursery worker, she said a few things to me over the time. Yeah. They were a bit like, a little bit of the type.
Yeah.
She just went, "Does he not know how to use cutlery?" Mm. Oh. I was like, "No." And at that point he was two, so I was like, I didn't realise I then needed to progress him onto not just picking up and shoving it in. He needs to actually have cutlery.
Yeah. You're listening to How to Feed with Charlotte Sterling Reed, sponsored by Little Dish. Do you think that the way you fed your kids back in the day, early years, has impacted their eating now? Like,
Absolutely. They have this desire to try new things, to experiment. Yeah. They're not worried about putting something into their mouth. They know they can spit it out if it's awful. They're willing to try. Mm. So, you know, if we cook new things, they do generally.
Yeah.
Give it a go. Yeah. Mm. But then on the flip side of that, I know that if they do try it and they don't like it, I have to be okay with kind of going, that's okay. Here's some pesto pasta. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And being okay with that. I definitely think that's had a massive impact.
Well, if you listen to you talking about how you weaned and now how they eat, there's so many similarities in that. Yeah. And I try and talk to parents about, because I mean, like, you know, I hate putting pressure on parents, but the early stage of offering foods, that kind of, the environment and the attitudes, it can have a knock-on effect. And it's not to say any of it's irreversible, but it can have a real knock-on effect to their future eating. It's not just about like what's happening right now during weaning. It is about their long-term eating habits. And that's what, you know, that's why it can make such a difference. But it's so easy to say, you know, be calm, be relaxed about it, because if that's not your kind of
but then
persona.
You could be sat at home going, "Oh my god, he's not eating a carrot, he's never going to eat carrots, he's never going to get those vitamins, he's never going to," and then it can build up. And we all know that you can't force that child to have that carrot, but you can cook it in a way it's in food that
completely.
They just don't know about it.
And also eat it yourself, like you're saying. I think that family meal aspect is so critical. So you said you've done that for a long time. What age would you say that your kids were literally involved in your meal? So you were making a meal for you and Tom and you were just eating together?
I would say from when Buzz was a toddler.
Okay.
Yeah, so we
and
were.
And then,
yeah, because I think at the time as well, there were some different cookbooks out there that were kind of like a family feast type thing, and looking at how we could use those to feed all of us. Mm. So it was from a young age, I would say.
Yeah, and I think that's definitely has a marked impact on the variety. And you've talked a lot about variety. Did you explore that variety a lot from a very young age? So obviously with baby-led weaning, you were probably giving a wide variety. Was that like bits of your food? Just for people who haven't done it, how did you go about that?
Yeah, bits of our food, of what we were eating, but also anything that I could cook as a stick, essentially, in some ways. So whether that be sweet potatoes, so butternut squash, so much squash, carrots, anything like that. Then adding in pasta and interestingly, I think a strawberry came in quite far down the line, but I was cooking it all in lots of different ways as well. So not mashing it, but maybe cooking it in coconut oil and things that were adding
more variety.
And I think that's a massive part of it, actually. I love seeing how much he could try and what that, you know. I think at the time, I think there was that info out about how you have, I think it takes 20 times for a child to like some food, something like that.
Yeah.
And knowing that info just made me go, it's okay.
Yeah.
We're only on the 18th
side. Yeah, exactly. Two more to go.
And he's going to love it. I loved those early stages, and just experimenting with anything and everything. Mm.
Yeah. And on it, it really shows as well, I think, with that. But do you think, so with your first and last, you said that you approached, you know, baby led weaning, but then you didn't really. And I know you said you can't remember.
Well, it was still baby led weaning. We just didn't focus on it.
Okay.
Yeah. Like there was no way, I don't think he got a spoon.
Yeah. Okay.
Buddy got the spoon.
So he still was grabbing and eating
still,
pieces.
Yeah. And still very much. But so he's got a very different taste palette. So I asked the kids what their ultimate, like the kind of, as an adult, you would say your final meal, you know,
yeah.
on death row.
Yeah.
I asked the kids this.
Did you ask it in that way?
No. I think if you could only have your last ever meal,
love
or
that.
One meal for the rest of your life, what would it be? Buzz's was a buffet.
Okay.
Which I thought was a very sensible choice.
Clever, yeah.
Anything and everything for the rest of your life, or for
winning.
Your final meal before you pop it. Great.
I love that.
Buddy chose a roast. Mm. Which was a good one. And then for Max, he chose quiche, prawns, salami, and cocktail sausages.
Oh my
chocolate.
God, that is so specific. And also, what a mix.
Yeah, basically a little picnic basket.
Yeah, it's a bit like a buffet as well.
No
I
veg
love
in
that.
That.
Okay, but...
Unless you're putting
some in the quiche. Oh God, I love that. But see, it does sound like they are real foodies. You know, there's not a mention of, you know, sweets and chocolate, but how do your kids approach those foods? Do they, like most kids, I'm sure they do enjoy them. How do they approach it? How do you approach those?
It's a tough one. I think as they've got older, I've been a bit more relaxed about it. Like I know with Buzz, he didn't have anything sweet until his first birthday, and that was his birthday cake.
Yeah.
And then I find it gets harder when there's siblings added to the mix,
massively.
And the children are eating things. They're like, well, I can't eat that.
And then you don't want to overly restrict because also that's not ideal. And I
know that my kids have a really good diet. The majority of stuff that they put in their body is good and it's nutritious. And I just kind of, I don't want certain foods to be seen as treats.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Exactly.
Kind of that.
Like, put on a pedestal.
I think... Growing up, I know that growing up, I was only ever allowed two biscuits and I'd have to have one and I'd have to ask for another one. And that was it. Yeah. You did not get more.
Yeah.
Whereas, you know, I know my kids have been known to distract me and nick the biscuit jar, you know.
It's under their bed.
Like exactly. And their mates are over and they're all having, having a lovely time and things like that. I'm just like, this has been a moment that's going to be a core memory for you.
Yeah.
Well done.
Yeah, I love it.
I'm now going to remove the biscuit jar from your room.
Mm-hmm.
I try not to get too stressed about it. Yeah. I think, you know, there are moments where, like, say you're at the theatre or, you know, you're somewhere where you want them to sort of sit for a bit. You might have some foods that you're just like, I know you're going to really love this. Sit down, eat it. They're not going to do that for celery and hummus. They're just not. So it's something a bit more what we would class as a treat. But yeah, I try not to get stressed about the sweets and stuff because I just like, there's worse stuff that you can be doing. And if it's not there, they don't want it. My third, though, I've got to say, is a proper chocolate fiend.
Like my second as well.
He will sniff that out a mile away.
But do you know, like, what I love and what I try and talk about as well is all the other stuff. Like, that's what I think people forget. They're like, oh God, you know, they shouldn't have this. But actually, you forget that like life and food isn't about what you don't eat. It's about what you do eat.
Yeah.
So it's all that other stuff that is so delicious. And like your kids' replies to what meals they would have, it's just beautiful because it is varied, you know, lots of meals. It just shows they have a love for food.
Well, no, yeah. And you know what? Like I was saying about the vegetable patch and going picking carrots and eating stuff around the garden, they can have that and they can have a packet of sweets.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's not about villainizing certain foods.
Completely.
You know, it's about kind of going, let's add different things in rather than kind of villainizing.
Yeah. Absolutely. And I do think parents struggle with that because it's really hard in this day and age where you've got so much accessibility. You read the scaremongering stories in the press and you're thinking, am I a terrible mum if I do give this? Or, but then also, like you've said, it is about relationship with food, and it's a very hard one to navigate because when we, you know, when we grew up, it was like you were restricted.
Yep.
You were to finish your meal. You wouldn't be able to have more than the two biscuits, you know, and we now know that actually some of that probably isn't that good psychologically for our relationship.
But then we also had mums who would, you know, eat, you know, hardly anything or constantly doing Mr. Motivator in front of us or whatever. Yeah. And they were so fed by a beauty standard
completely,
that was unattainable. So I think now you've got, a lot of generation who are embracing who they are and celebrating their bodies. No one's punishing their bodies or, you know, trying not to. I think that does get fed down into our
children. Yeah,
and into how we look at food. You know, I think when we talk about food being a comfort, that's because of the restriction that was there before. Yeah. And not that's not just a restriction on what you put in your body. It's a restriction of love for your body.
Yeah.
You know, whereas now that is being broken through. Yeah. I hope that filters into
That's exactly it. It's the filtering it down to our kids, which I think we're all trying to do. And I think so many parents are trying to do that, but it's very hard when you're confused because of, you know, the headlines and the press and the media and what people tell you to do. And like you say, no hard or fast rules. Yeah. And I love, the attitude with yours. So, that makes so much sense. One thing I really, because you're, honestly, I'm not just saying this, but your attitude with how you approach food and weaning would help so many. So can you just say what tips would you give to any parents who are about to start their weaning journey? You know, what would you say were critical things that they should not know, but critical tips that would really help them on that journey?
First of all, realize that it's going to be messy, but enjoy the mess, embrace the mess. You can't fight it. Don't start cleaning up whilst they're eating, because it's a thankless task. It would just keep getting messy. Helping in terms of physical stuff. I love the suction bowls.
Yes.
The suction bowls, because then the bowl can't be flipped.
Yeah.
If the bowl stays in place, you're good.
Yeah.
You know, and just really find a way that works for you. Mm-hmm. You know, for me, the baby-led weaning was brilliant. I loved that. But at the same time, when we had to travel, actually, I've just remembered when we went to Australia and I was worried about the food and like the traveling and bits like that. I took all the pouches with me because I was just like, I know that this is nutritious food and it's going to be good for you. And, you know, you won't be hungry because we've got this. Australia has a lot of food.
Yeah.
You know, it's just the travel aspect that I was a bit more worried about. And just finding a way that works for you and not worrying about any of the noise and not finding yourself restricted in a way of I found this method and I'm going to be pure with it and nothing else can happen. Allow yourself to be flexible. If a spoon comes in, if it's pureed that your baby needs, if that's fine. It's absolutely fine. I think, you know, in the long, you are not going to be sat in their first Christmas production going, oh, he was baby-led weaned there. He was pureed, you know, never had any vegetables, that one. You know, you're just simply not. Just embrace it, because for me, it is possibly the best part. Like, this is my favourite milestone.
I love that.
Not
so
the
much.
Crawling, not the walking. Mm. It's the sitting down, enjoying, exploring.
Meals together. Yeah, I love that so much. Can I ask one other thing as well? In terms of, you talked at the beginning about your friends had recommended baby-led weaning to you. Did you ever find that hard, like the comparison? So like comparing with other kids or what other parents are doing and feeling a need to, that's how I ought to be doing it.
It's really interesting. So I had, even with hypnobirthing, I had a few friends recommend that, and they were a few friends who were completely different walks of life. Mm. So that kind of made me go, oh, I'll just read it. I think in the early days, I was open to reading things and then kind of going, oh, that will work for us or it won't.
Yeah.
So with that, I didn't feel like I needed to compare. Plus, they were friends who I didn't really see that often. Mm-hmm. So I wasn't sat there going, oh gosh, you know, their little girl and oh.
Yeah.
So no, I didn't feel that. But I mean, it's really difficult when you go to baby groups and, you know, someone's like, oh, mine's doing this.
Yeah.
And I think really and I don't want that people to be put off baby groups, actually, because for me, being able to sit with a group of people and just go,
breathe.
You know, just, you know.
Same boat.
Did you get any sleep? You know, all of that stuff. I think it's actually it's a lifesaver for so many people. You just have to, you know, look at your baby and go, this is where you are for now. And this is brilliant. We did actually, what we started doing is not comparing our kids to other kids, but almost, I know that we did start looking back at old videos and going, oh God, he was crawling by this point. Mm. He was doing this by this point.
Yeah.
Or, you know, we'd introduce this food by this point. Mm. So I think it's more comparing ours to
older,
the other siblings. Mm.
It's so much about personality as well, though. And, you know, that's come across in quite a few of the conversations I've had, is the personality of kids. And we don't really take that into account. I think sometimes we kind of expect them to just be the same.
Yeah.
In all ways, sleep, eating, personality.
And if a child is more reserved, it makes sense that they're a bit more reserved about what they're willing to try. Mm.
Yeah. exactly. Like some kids are more introverted, some are more sociable, some can communicate really well. Yeah. So they might be able to tell you. And I think that's a big thing during weaning and feeding kids is that communication, because often, you know, if kids don't know how to communicate that they're full, they've had enough, they don't want food, it's really hard. And often the only way they can communicate is by throwing, screaming, yeah. pushing. And parents take that quite as, you know, oh, something maybe I've got wrong, but actually that's just their communication. And they're also different in that. I mean, my daughter threw it on the floor and my son never did it.
No. Yeah. With that, we did baby sign. And some of my favorite baby, like the more, they're all done, you know, being able to use those. It was the those two and milk with the signs that we used.
I do genuinely think I didn't ever do that actually, but we did at my son at mealtimes. So you taught both of them to say, I've had enough. And we would, and like people were so surprised that you can actually teach that super early. When did you start doing the sign from?
I was, you know, going to those sessions from when he was 10 weeks old. Yeah. So I was always doing it to him, but I can't remember when he first did it, but he was definitely, by the time he was, he was eating or sat down in a chair to do it, he was definitely doing all gone. Yeah.
Amazing. And that's the thing, you can teach them really early. And if you can get them to communicate, it's so much better because they're then listening to their own internal cues rather than us predicting, like, I think you've had enough. If you can get them to say none, more.
Well, and that's where frustrations come from, right? Completely. So if we're looking at frustrations at the dinner table, it comes from that you want something from them and they can't articulate why they're not complying to what you want, you know. Yeah. So I do think it kind of alleviates that pressure.
Yeah, massively. So if you can, I think that's a great tip. Like if you can get your child from a really young age into doing those signs,
even just three. You don't need to learn all of them.
Yeah, just the basics.
Just the basics, the basic three. Milk.
Milk.
All done and more.
More. Brilliant. Just those. That's all they do. And it does take away the mealtime frustration massively. So your podcast, which is amazing and we all love it and everyone here will have heard about it, Happy Mum, Happy Baby, is all about being really honest. So what's one honest thing you would like to tell families about your journey with your kids? Just one honest thing that you've found on your whole weaning journey or feeding journey with your kids.
That everything is a phase, so not to get stressed about it. Enjoy the bits when it's going really well.
Yeah.
And, because I think those moments, however fleeting, are the moments that everyone talks when they talk about parenting or weaning and they say it's amazing. It's those fleeting moments that are amazing. And just forgive yourself, forgive the situation when it all goes horribly wrong. Because it will. It inevitably will. Yeah. And then there might be, you know, your friends that you might compare your baby to or your situation, how you're handling it with, they might have a brilliant time with sleeping. They might have a brilliant time with weaning. Their teenagers might be a nightmare.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
you know, it all comes out in the wash. Don't worry about it.
Exactly that. And I think it's so important to share that there's so many moments that are really hard and that don't go to plan. And actually, that's part of it. And, you know, I love that. And I think it's a really important message. So this has honestly been so positive. I've loved it. And I think that the reason I wanted you on, like I said, was I think it's a confidence giving, because one of the things I find with lots of families who follow me is it's the confidence. Once you've got that confidence with weaning, it can have a real knock-on effect. So I wanted you because I knew you would just give us so much confidence, and you really have. So thank you. Just before we go, quick fire round, you don't mind.
Okay.
I know, I'm sorry. I know we're throwing it on you. Are you ready?
Yes.
Okay. Who is the biggest foodie in your family?
Oh, me.
Love it. I thought that might be the answer. What is your go-to quick dinner?
Pasta. I always have sauces in the freezer.
Pesto pasta?
No, actually, I've got them back onto like proper tomatoes.
Oh, love it. Yeah, okay, love it. But
and that's the biggest tip,
is
batch cooking. Batch cooking, so you've got something in the freezer.
Yeah. I'm going to do a whole thing about batch cooking as well, because I just think it's, such a winner, isn't it?
So good.
When you've got, so you come at home at the end of the day, you've got something in the freezer, or not the end of the day, but in the morning, you've got something in the freezer. It's like, I've got something. I don't need to spend half an hour. What is the strangest food combo you've seen a baby enjoy? A tricky one.
Oh, it's a tricky one. God, there's been so many.
I love that. That's what comes of the exploring, doesn't it? That they're just...
Well, and I think there's also no thing about a mains and a dessert with the little ones. Yeah. It all goes, so you've got fruit with
whatever.
Yeah.
I remember on holiday, just as an example, Raffi, really early on holiday, must have been less than two, we had some broccoli and was literally dipping it in his ice cream and using it as a vessel. That was one of my favourite. And his favourite meal now is a bagel with Marmite on one side, peanut butter on the other side, and then egg in the middle. And he puts it together and he eats it as a sandwich.
Whoa.
Yes. He
well,
is
our
such
kids,
a foodie.
Because of Doctor Who, will do fish. They've tried fish fingers with custard.
Oh.
But it's a very Doctor Who
thing.
Yeah, Matt Smith does it as his doctor when he's trying to find out who he is.
Is it nice? Have you tried it?
I didn't try it. They were all like,
shocking.
They were like, this is delicious. And I was like, okay.
Yeah, okay. We believe you. I'll take your word for it. What's the most amusing food-related mess you've ever seen a baby make?
Well, it's got to be Buzz with his pasta sauce smeared everywhere, you know, and even my sister got married when he was 16 months old in Sardinia again. And, it's the joy that adults get actually of seeing a child enjoy his food like that. That I, you know, found really heartwarming and brilliant. I just think, it's when you find where you find the food after that always surprises me. You know,
like, down there.
Yeah, how's it get into your nappy? I don't understand this. What were you doing?
If you ever use couscous and quinoa, that is the biggest mess. Oh my God, it's disaster. I remember having it at my mum's house and her being like, I'm not having that round again because it is everywhere. It's unbelievable.
Well, I imagine even when you do porridge and things like that, because I can't remember doing baby labouring with porridge, but we must have done. But that's a messy old.
Yes. Oh God. My husband was showing me a video of Ada actually yesterday who was eating, and I think it was some sort of lentil thing, but she had it all up her sleeve. I was thinking, how did I even get that mess
what
out?
What is the clothes?
Yeah, the clothes.
Oh, so one thing we did used to do is we used to take the tops off.
Oh, did you? Exactly. Naked
the house
weaning.
Are always warm. Just sit in your nappy and then we don't have to worry about
that. And then put them in the sink.
Yeah. Just wash them down.
I love that. Sorry, one last question before you go, because I'm really intrigued in this. Did you have lots of compliments when you were eating out on your kids eating? Like, did people say, because I remember getting that raff and it was such a buzz. Ada was a lockdown baby, so less so. But the compliments of other people, like you mentioned about
other
people.
Oh, yeah, like the
people.
Italians taking photos and bits like that. We did. We had one lady come over. I think, so the boys would have been 5, 3 and Max would have been like 4 months old, and we were on holiday, so we were eating out, and I think it was one of those ones where it had been a hectic day, but we'd managed to sit around the table and everyone was really well behaved and lovely.
Yeah.
And she came over and she was like, I just want to say it's so nice to see your kids sitting around the table and enjoying.
Love
I'm
that.
Like, well, but go forward to 5 years and our kids are now under the table.
You're like, okay. Yeah. I love that. It sounds very, very similar to us. But honestly, that's been so lovely, so kind of reassuring and such a confidence boost. So thank you so much for coming
on.
I'm genuinely honoured that you're here. I feel a bit deluded about the fact that you're sitting on the couch next to me. So thank you for coming.
It's
been wonderful. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for listening to my first episode of my podcast, How to Feed with Charlotte Stelling-Reed. Don't forget to tune in later this week for my advice episode, where I'll follow up on what I discussed with Giovanna and give my top tips and weaning advice, as well as answer some of your burning questions. Thank you to my sponsors of this podcast, Little Dish, who make delicious kids' meals and help to make family life and feeding kids less stressful.